am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. Radio with a purpose, a soul purpose. This is your host, Jan Revelle, and I'm really delighted to be with you today. I am once again in Arizona. It's just like moving all over the place here. I went from Sedona to Gresham, Oregon, which is by Portland, Oregon, and then I came back here to Sedona to teach a certification course in body linguistics, which is this amazing technique of reading the body. So now we have five, the graduating class of certified body linguistics practitioners. These are the first people in the entire world to be able to do this technique. So you'll want to find out more about that. See, I got to get my tongue untwisted here. You'll want to find out more about it. I'm sure of that. You can go to bodylinguistics.org. I don't have their names listed up there yet, but we'll have that up pretty soon. So again, this is Jan Revelle, and this is Purpose Talk Radio, and it's wonderful to have you here on this Monday, July 29th. And I'm in Phoenix. The sun is blazingly hot. I hope it's shining where you are and you're having a fabulous day no matter what the weather. I want to remind you that our theme song is called I Am Who I Am, and it's by the group True Trinity. You can find out more about them at truetrinity.com, where you can hear the song, you can hear the other songs that they've created, and you can also purchase the song if you would like to download it and be able to play it anytime you want. I want to remind you that we have a conversational group at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. So go to Facebook, and if you're not part of the group, just look for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Group and ask to join. And Cindy Freeman, our facilitator, will be absolutely delighted to have you join the group. She'll get you in, and you can join the conversations that go on before, during, and following every show. Our guest today is Junie Moon Schreiber. She is a transformational coach, and she has some wonderful stories to tell, powerful stories to tell us. So I'm excited to be able to have her on the show today and to introduce you to her. What else? Let me see. I want you to be able to get in touch with me anytime you want to, and you can do that by emailing me at jan@purposetalkradio.com, jan@purposetalkradio.com. If you have an idea for a speaker or you have a question, you can email me at any time. If you want to talk to our guest today or to me, you can call into the show, and I'm going to give you that number now. I'm going to give it twice to make sure you get it and that I didn't cut out somewhere along the line. So that number is 347-205-9074. Again, that's 347-205-9074. If you use Skype and you have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, you can also call in via Skype if you prefer. And if you're outside of the United States, that's the easiest way to be able to call in and get to talk with us. I have drawn, you know that I have the Oracle cards, and I've got one for the show, but I wanted to let you know that I have four extra cards today. So if you have a question and you'd like to have a card reading, just call into that number, and following the interview, we'll do some card readings. Let me see. What else do I need to say? I need to tell you that, actually, I don't need to tell you anything. Today's beautiful. Yes, I want to invite you to go to purposetalkradio.com, the website for the radio show, where you can find out about more about Junie Moon Schreiber. You can find out more about upcoming guests. You can find out about our previous guests. And you can also find the archived links to previous shows. So you can listen to other shows if you would like. All righty then. I guess it's time for us to move on and for me to do the Oracle card reading, and the card for the show today is called White Lilies. Oh, it's a beautiful card. It shows this, I think she's a fairy. I don't think she's not an angel. She's got fairy wings. This beautiful fairy, she has long blonde hair, and she's all in white, and there's a bumblebee who is coming up to her lap, and she's holding out her right hand in order to give blessing to this bee. She's sitting in the middle of a white lily. So every time you see a white lily, look for that little fairy who's sitting in the middle of it, and maybe she'll give you a blessing as well. It's also to remind us every single day there are fairies, there are angels, there are gnomes, there are beings all around us. And all we have to do is stop for a minute, take a breath, and allow their presence to come into our awareness. Remember that when you look at something and you look too hard, you can't see it. You have to kind of unfocus a little bit. That's the same way with these beings, is you have to kind of unfocus your eyes a little bit and just let your intuition take over. And also to be aware that all of us have intuition. We can all develop our intuition and our ability to communicate with those who are on other realms, whether they are fairies or angels or archangels or people who have passed on from our life or from somebody that we don't know. We can also connect with each other. Sometimes that can be a scary thought when you think about somebody being able to read your mind. But it's less that than sort of checking in with somebody and seeing, how are they doing? Or, you know, the times when you've heard the phone ring or you knew the phone was going to ring and so-and-so was calling. It's that kind of a thing. So just allow yourself to kind of relax, get into a relaxed state. Let yourself not look so hard and not listen so hard. Let yourself just be relaxed to receive the messages and to be able to see these other beings who are around us all the time. And, of course, living in the Sedona region and in some other areas of this country, you know, or the world, actually, you know very well that there are areas where there are all kinds of beings who are around us and communicating with us all the time. So that's the card for today is White Lilies. So if you're a gardener, make sure you check out the White Lilies and acknowledge the fairies who live in the White Lilies or who care for them, and the bees who take care of all of our flowers. And for all of us, just expand your awareness a little bit. Allow yourself to relax, to take a breath, to let your eyes unfocus a little bit, to let your ears unfocus a little bit, and to let your conscious thought of having to be in control, let it just relax a little bit. Put it on the shelf over there and let it sit for a few minutes. And just allow yourself to receive. Now, one of the things I want to talk about, before we get Junie Moon in here, I want to address this allowing yourself to be open and receive. Lately, I've had contact with people who either have just started receiving messages or they've been at it for a little while, but they haven't learned to protect themselves. We need to be aware that not all energy around us, whether it's somebody that we think is from the angelic realm or an ascended master or a fairy or anybody, not all of these have our highest interest in mind and our highest good. So remember to always, before you open yourself up to any of these messages, make sure that you surround yourself with a beautiful light. Choose a color. It can be white light. It can be almost any color. Whatever color really feels good to you and resonates with you, that's the color to use. Surround yourself with that color and make a clear statement that only energy and beings who have your highest good as their intent are allowed to be in your presence. If they do not have your highest good intent, then they are not allowed to come into your presence. Make that really clear. And if you feel yourself becoming overwhelmed at all by energies of any kind, whether it's other people and their thoughts and their energy, or whether you've opened yourself up and you feel this presence that maybe isn't the best, and or something comes to you, a message comes to you that is kind of scary, then what you do is you breathe. And once again, You surround yourself with that light. You breathe in through your mouth or your nose. Breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your solar plexus. Imagine that you can breathe out through your solar plexus. That's that area right below your rib cage, right in the center of your chest, and that's that soft spot right underneath your sternum. Your solar plexus, breathe out from there and breathe that energy down around your feet, coming up your back and all the way to the top of your head, coming down in front of you to the solar plexus again, going down both sides of you until you're in this cocoon or balloon of beautiful light. I like to use white light. A lot of people talk about white light, but whatever color resonates with you, that's the color to use. And then once again, put out there that any visions, any messages, any energies coming into your presence must have your highest good as their intent, and or the highest good of whoever you're giving a reading to. If that's not the case, then they need to leave because it's not appropriate. So that's your choice, obviously, but I encourage you to go ahead and surround yourself with this light and always have your highest good and the highest good of all concerned as your intent, and the intent, and make sure that that's the intent of any energy that comes within your presence. And that can also relate to people. And you'll find that as you start doing that, and you bring that highest, your highest good as their intent around, that some people may drop away from you if they don't have that energy that is in your highest good. Okay, I've gone on enough about that, so we're going to move on. Remember, the card is called White Lilies. And we can have gardeners. We can be gardeners and gardeners of our soul. So here we go. We're going to go on, and we're going to get Junie Moon in here. Remember, if you want to call in and talk to Junie, or you want to talk to me, and or if you want to have a reading following interview, call 347-205-9074. So, Junie, you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here in fairyland with the lilies. That's great.
Well, it's good to have you with us. So
yeah,
I
Sorry?
Go ahead.
I'm new to radio, so you're going to have, I'm sure I'll pick up along the way. I was just saying I'm sitting looking out these beautiful windows into my garden and all the colors and all the dragonflies flying around. So as you were talking about the lilies and the beauty of nature, I'm like, I am very, very happy right now where I am, feeling that energy for sure. Thank you for all the visual there. That was lovely.
Oh, awesome. And I love the dragonflies, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great image. All right, Cindy says that I'm not loud enough, so I'll turn up the volume here and hope that that's a little bit better. Okay, so I always ask people, well, first of all, where are you?
I'm not in Arizona, but I am in a sunny place right now, which I'm really happy about. I'm in New Jersey, and it is glorious. It's a beautiful summer day with a cool breeze, and it's lovely. We've had a hot summer, so this is a nice one today. So I'm full of my summer heart right now.
All right, that's great. Well, I always ask people and I'll do this with you right now too, is mm-hmm. to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background, about how you found your passion, how you discovered your passion, and what is your passion?
Okay. I was thinking about my passion a lot, actually, yesterday. You know, where am I and why am I choosing to be walking the walk I'm walking? And it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was a journey. I mean, it's been a long and winding journey to get to this place in my life. And I think strongly that's the work I do, which is helping people see their journey and connect to what's their passion and what's stopping them from really standing in the glory of who they are. I actually want to go back to the song that's on your radio. I was so happy to hear that again. I'd heard it when I was listening to one of the previous weeks. And that's my passion. My passion is helping people really stand in their authenticity, who they are, feeling comfortable in their own skin and claiming it, having an amazing life in the moment that they're in, and knowing that they're right where they need to be and they're beautiful and perfect the way they are. So my passion is not necessarily something specific, though there are certainly things that I do to fulfill the passion, but my deepest joy is helping people really feel full and whole and happy with their life. And if they're not, help them wake up to who they are, help them see what kind of life they can really have with the tools I've learned along the way. So that's my passion. But going back to who I am and how I got here, yeah, the long and winding road, right? Well, I had a lot of pain. I had a lot of pain and challenges through my life that kept kind of kicking me and waking me up to a different life. And along the way, having these crossroads of, do I stay where I am and feel like, you know, crap, or do I seek outside myself some answers? And I'm really grateful that I stepped out of that box, that comfort zone, to really see what is out there for transformation and healing. So, you know, I think back, way back, as far back as I can remember when I was a little girl, I remember just loving life, just being so connected to people and their smiles, and running around my neighborhood at 6, 7, 8 years old to see the people on their porches and see their eyes light up when they saw me, you know, and, you know, I would smile at them and they would smile at me. And I remember feeling so great at bringing joy to other people's lives. Maybe they were just sitting, who knows what they were doing. But I knew that when I stopped by in my little self that they were happy to see me and I brought joy to them. And I loved connecting with people, and I that's always been inside of me. And then, of course, life happened where I started closing off to people because of some of the painful experiences I had in my life. Specifically, my dad died when I was 14, and that was a biggie because it was at a time in my life I was 14, I was in middle school. You know, everyone loves middle school, right? And I certainly was in that realm of, oh my God, am I ever going to survive this? This really sucks. I was picked on. I was embarrassed on a constant, you know, constantly picked on and embarrassed by people saying things in front of the cute guy at the back of the class or whatever. It was walking on eggshells and getting smaller and smaller inside myself so that I wasn't seen or heard because I didn't want to feel crushed out in public. And then my dad died while this was going on. He was my champion. He had my back and was getting me through this. And so between the devastating experiences in school and then the loss of my dad, I really closed off, you know. I mean, people that knew me back then would say no. It's interesting. People say, no, June, you've always been happy and bubbly with a smile on your face. But I know inside that was just not true. Inside, I felt so terrified of being seen. I couldn't even raise my hand in class by the time I got to high school. If I didn't. If I thought I was going to raise my hand, I would start shaking and sweating because I was so terrified that if I were to speak, then I would be seen and someone might say something, and the risk was just too great. So I just kept getting smaller and smaller, certainly inside of myself, and kept myself from doing things that would take me out of that safe place of not being seen. Like I didn't run for student council. I would have loved to have been in service and connect with people. Again, that's my true self. That's my nature, to want to help and to be part of something. But I was terrified. And so after my dad died, I really made some really big choices around connecting with people and letting love in and sharing love as well, because the most important person in my life at that time was taken from me. And the vulnerability of letting someone in my life was so great. And so big decisions made. And so that kind of set the tone for a long period of time where relationships were challenging, feeling comfortable in my own skin in the world, feeling like I was very, very alone, and yet I chose to be alone. That's the interesting thing, the risk of letting somebody in because of fear of loss, but at the same time, I was so alone at the same time. It was just scary, very scary,
right.
And that part of me just protecting myself all the way through. So that led me, those things in my past, those two things anyway, are big pieces of what kind of moved me through the years of finding my way home to my heart, finding my way home to who I truly am, and taking off the layers through the personal growth work and all the different arenas I've come in contact with through the years. Should I keep talking?
Did you find that there was a particular incident that helped you to turn around and become who you are today, or rather than shrinking to actually open up, flourish, or was it over time?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a yes and. I think there were definitely a couple of times that were big eye-opening, heart-opening moments, and it's truly over time as well, because I'm still unfolding who I am and taking off the layers that have been on me, protecting me through these years. But there was one particular moment that I've spoken about in the past, and it's actually in the book Journey to Joy that I just co-authored, which was when I was an actress for many years. That was a way of kind of getting into my emotions and being seen without risk in some strange way. And I was doing the whole New York thing, and I was really getting somewhere. Doors were opening, and things were really happening. And as things were unfolding in New York City inside, I was feeling more empty, more scared, more devastatingly, I don't know even have a word. I was just empty. I was just dark and empty inside, and I knew something had to happen. I had to make a choice, and I had just finished a film, and I had some money in my pocket, and I thought, you know what, I can get out of the city, but where would I go? And the universe provided beautifully. Somebody that I was talking to said, have you ever heard of the Omega Institute? And that's a healing center upstate New York. Some people might know about it. It's a new kind of a new agey healing center, yoga, personal growth work, lots of different things, amazing place. And they took me in as a work exchange. And that's when everything opened up to me. It was just this moment of, wow, there is a safe, beautiful, loving, healing place in the world like this, and people that are walking this walk of authenticity, of deep love, connection, spirit. And that, connecting to that community suddenly opened me up to another whole world of possibilities. So that, to me, was the beginning. And I didn't go back to acting professionally after that summer, which was big, big identity crisis, too, because everything I was acting. That was it. I was an actress since I was 6 years old. So for 20 years, that's all I did. But after being at Omega, I was connecting to the truth again, connecting to the heart and feeling that oneness that I had not felt for so long, and I started letting the love back in and giving the love back out. And so that was a really monumental moment in my life, and I opened up more to personal growth work and all the different things that came along the way that gave me tools for life. The second biggest thing that happened to me, which really was an accelerant to the work I do now, is a class I did in 2006. It was not a shadow work class, per se, but it was a shadow work facilitator. Her name is Elisa Starkweather, an amazing woman who does so much work with women's empowerment, and I can't even begin to tell you all the amazing things that she does. I consider her a mentor, a friend, a colleague at this point. It's great. But anyway, I was in her class. I don't remember the name of it, but whatever it was about hearing some of the voices in our head that tell us some things that sometimes stop us from being who we are, stop us mm-hmm. from feeling comfortable in our own skin. Perhaps a voice that says, oh, you're not good enough, or, you know, who do you think you are? You can't do that. You know, those are two of my favorites, in my head, that is. And she started working with the group in a way I had never seen. And I had done a lot of personal growth work up at this point. And people were opening up. People were feeling safe. And the safer we all felt, the more we were able to step into some of these more uncomfortable places. And we did this exercise where we did some part playing, and we were able to hear some of the voices in our head that are telling us, you know, something that doesn't feel comfortable, that are that stops us, perhaps, of being strong inside ourselves. And then we had another voice that empowered us and really saw us for our value and who we are and everything that we could be. And I just was blown away by the work she did, her language, how she guided us, how safe it felt, how honoring, and that was a big part, how honoring she was of our individual journey. It wasn't a I'm going to crack you wide open and put you back together kind of work. It was, where do you want to go? How can I support you? What's stopping you? Where's your resistance? Let's look at that resistance, and let's see if we can move forward together. And I wanted that. I said, those are skills I want, because not only did I know that I was shifted in that class, but I saw the other people's eyes lighting up, and it was magical, and it was powerful and transformative, and that's what started me in the work I do now, which is shadow work, which is, well, part of what I do is shadow work. A lot of what I do is shadow work. But from that point on, I dove right into the work, learned it, and I've been a shadow worker for years now, incorporating that in the work I do, which is helping people hear what's between their ears, because sometimes we don't know what those voices are. Sometimes we hear them, but we don't really know what their intentions are, but we know that they harm us in some way. And by embracing those voices, not pushing them away, but actually listening to them and understanding why they're there and almost welcoming them because they serve us in some way, then by inviting them in and allowing them to flow through us and really understanding their purpose, we can shift that and create a much more powerful life. So those are two, at least off the top of my head, that got me where I am now with the work I do.
Well, I'd like to take us back a little bit, because I want to learn more about the shadow work, obviously, but I want to take us way back a little bit more.
Yeah.
And to the point, hold on a sec here. A frog has come to visit my throat this morning. So we're gonna...
Welcome, frog. Ribbit, ribbit.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I want to go back to when you were in school, and you were talking about being picked on and bullying other kids, because there are a lot of us who have gone through that experience, and there are a lot of parents now whose children are going through that experience.
So if
we're able to talk, well, I'd like you to talk to these parents a little bit to say,
absolutely.
For instance, if you were able to be in the kids' heads or work with the child that you were, what kind of support and advice would you offer this child so that they felt empowered, she or he feels empowered, and doesn't feel like they're being picked on or bullied or shutting down?
Wow, that is one big question. it's such a meaty question, and what's interesting is my son, who's not in middle school anymore, but he was also going through the bullying, and not only did I relive it, obviously, because it was so close to the bone, but seeing my son go through it, it was like, oh my God, and knowing what I know, all the tools I have, it's like, what can I do to support my son? Well, the first thing I'll say, because I have firsthand experience of having a child, not even just me going through it, but having a child that went through it, is, it's a challenging road, because my son could only hear so much from me because he's a kid,
right.
I'm going to actually take it another step back and just say one of the greatest things that helped me help him, I believe, is really trusting that things were unfolding the way they were supposed to be unfolding. I don't think I would have been as great a service to him or to myself in keeping the peace inside of myself with him while it was going on if I didn't truly believe we all have our journeys and that he was exactly where he needed to be for his journey, as painful as it was to witness and as painful as it was for me to experience, because it did suck. There's nothing worse than seeing your child in pain, nothing in the world. And being present as much as I could be without bringing my own crap to the table to hold the space to listen without having to really change it or shift it or, you know, try to get in his head, because he didn't want me in his head and it wasn't my place to be in his head. My place is to guide and to hold the fort for him the best I could. I mean, we did reach out to the counselors, and they helped as much as they could. But again, you know, the school systems, it's frustrating, and I feel for all the parents that go through it. But what did I do for my son, and what can you do for your children? Well, the first thing I think is to see them for who they are and to acknowledge them for who they are, not to focus on the emotions necessarily that they're feeling, you know, but to empower them by focusing on the stuff that's working for them, you know, like, okay, you know, hold the space for, and I'm so, you know, I'm really speaking off the, you know, like right off the cuff here, because I don't know much about, you know, taking care of children other than, you know, what I went through with my own son, but to really honor the strength within them, to see the good within them, to see their hearts and to acknowledge that they're perfect the way they are. I wouldn't focus too much on what the other kids are saying, because the other kids are saying whatever they're saying for the reasons they're saying it. And as Wayne Dyer says, what other people think is none of our business. And I think that's one of the greatest things to remember, is whatever other people are saying, you know, we don't have to focus there. Who are we? And who are you? Your child. Who is your child? And what are the gifts that they have in this world that you can honor them for, you know, to bless them for? And when they're down, to just really hold the space. I think less talking is better when it comes to the kids. I really do. See what they need to say. Speak, you know, really hear them. Hear them with your heart, because there's not much control you have over the other kids. It's just a fact. And you could try to talk to the parents of the other kids, but frankly, most of the time, it doesn't work, because the kids are usually a product of their parents. Not necessarily always, because my son has done some pretty crappy things, and I am not taking responsibility for that one. But you know, at the end of the day, we just, the best we can, come from a loving, non-judgmental place and keeping our own shit in check. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but there you go. Sorry. To just really hold our side of the street clean, you know, keep it clean so that we can really see our children and really hold a place for them to come to that isn't going to be an uncomfortable place for them. I mean, I don't remember my dad telling me a lot. I just remember a place for me to cry and a place for me to land and a place to be held. It helped me inside know that there was someone that had my back, and that's why it was so devastating when he died. But knowing that I had a place to come to, that I wasn't going to it wasn't going to be harder if I brought the pain, you know, if I had my dad telling me, well, don't do this and don't do that, you know, that probably would have made it harder for me, because maybe I couldn't do the this's and the that's that he told me to do. But to be able to really be seen for, you know, the sweet person that I was, and that that it wasn't my fault, that whatever's happening, you know, it's not about me, you know, that the other people have their own things that are happening, and that I can just that our children can just focus on the best that they can be. And then I do believe in therapy. I mean, I do believe in getting support for your kids and getting them involved in whether it's, I'm not so sure about sports these days, I got to be honest, but get them involved in something that it is their passion, something that they can feel really good about. What are their interests? And really follow them. Because if they can invest in something that they love, like, and I was in theater, it helps. It helps to have a place that they feel good about who they are and what they're bringing to the table, because then they're more full going into the battle zone. But it is a battle zone. It really is a very challenging time when these kids just don't know who they are, and they're trying to play it out with each other to figure out, you know, who's the winner, who's the loser, and who's gonna shine and who's gonna get squashed. I mean, it's being a parent, hardest job in the world.
But the work that you do, the shadow work that you do, you're talking about voices in the head, and don't we, because as children, we're like sponges. We're soaking up everything from our parents, from our peers, from everyone around. So some of these voices that we hear from, these critical voices in particular, from other kids, do these then become some of those shadow voices in our heads that, of course, impact us for the rest of our lives?
Absolutely. And that is the work. That is the work. In shadow work, we believe we're born kind of like a blank slate, you know, we're just like full spectrum personality and just, we just are, you know, just pure essence, pure energy. And then life happens and we have these experiences, you know, we have experiences with our parents or our society or kids at school that are telling us that we're not okay in certain ways, or we're supposed to be a certain way, you know. You know, big boys don't cry, or, you know, little girls seen but not heard. And I mean, you know, there are these messages we get along the way, and we feel them in our bodies.
There's other messages too. You know, when I was a kid, I wore glasses, so they called me Four Eyes. And I had my front teeth protruded, so they called me Bucky Beaver. These are things that really hurt. I ended up, as a result, getting contacts because that made me feel better about myself.
Right.
And I had my teeth taken care of because that made me feel better about myself. But those comments, nevertheless, were there from little person, and I haven't forgotten them, and I'm no longer a little person.
Right, exactly. You know, you're right on the money there. So here we have these experiences as a little person. And as little people, we don't have a lot of control over our life. And we're vulnerable, and we are at the mercy of adults and society and all the people around us, and we have these impactful moments that can go inside of us and affect us for the rest of our life if we are not aware of them. So, and I don't know how you are, I don't know you very well, but I'll speak to myself in a similar situation. I had weight issues most of my life. I used to be very, very heavy. I was up and down the scale to 200 pounds many, many times in my adult life. I've kept off most of my weight for close to 10 years now. But up until then, there were comments, you know, thunder thighs when I was, you know, in middle school or in the shorts or, hey, maybe you shouldn't leave the house, or, you know, how many pool parties I didn't go to because of all the comments that made me feel so terrible about who I was. And I'm, again, happy to say I've come a long way, but those hurtful messages landed inside of me at a very young age, making me feel not accepted, not okay, not beautiful, and all the million of other feelings and thoughts I had. And unless we really are in tune with them, they're in us. They're in our bodies still haunting us sometimes when we least expect it. So coming back to you, I don't know you well, but I would venture a guess, if you haven't worked on this or really looked at it, is that if someone were to make a comment about something about you physically, you could very well possibly feel the same old feelings of the past because it was so hurtful when you were younger. And those feelings give us, there's parts of us that protect us from getting hurt. And when we're younger, these parts come on board and say, you know what, I don't want you to feel less than. I don't want you to feel vulnerable to these people. So I'm going to make sure that you don't put yourself out there and be seen. So, you know, perhaps, and again, I'm just going to, this is completely off the wall here, but, you know, let's just say when you were little, all you wanted to do was be in a beauty contest. I have no idea if, you know, I have no idea if that was a goal of yours, but let's just say all you wanted to do was be in, you know, go around and be Miss America. That was your biggest passion. And you had these experiences when you were little, and then you got your contacts, and then you got your teeth fixed. But inside of you, perhaps there was a part that said, "No, you're not worthy of that. You're not good enough. You can't do that." And maybe you didn't fulfill that dream of yours because of that voice. But that voice came on board to protect you when you were younger, and did a really good job to keep you safe all these years. But then we get to our, you know, our age, 30, 40, 50, or whatever, and we still have those voices in our head if we didn't really own them yet, still stopping us from stepping into our dreams. And I don't know why I mentioned the beauty contest, but whatever. But, you know, what are our dreams, and what are we stopping ourselves from because of those voices that are old
right.
voices that
right.
were in service to us when we needed it, but are they in service to us now? And that critical voice we need to look at. And by looking at it and understanding it, we can then bring that voice up to present time and really see if the risks are still there and rework it in a way so that we can have different voices, more empowering voices, and that critical voice maybe give it a new job so that it can protect us in different ways that might be necessary, but not necessarily the way it used to protect us. Does that make sense? Am I being clear?
I love what you just said about giving that critical voice a new job. You know, so often I've talked about when you do any kind of spiritual work, they used to talk about slaying the ego or killing the ego.
Mm.
And my philosophy is to make the ego your ally and it help you grow. So I love that critical voice of giving it a new job. So
yeah, in shadow work, we don't think of cutting anything off of us. We think, you know, if we say we don't want to be if there's a part of us that we shame, you know, we're putting something else in shadow. It's about taking all the parts back, all of who we are, but owning them in a way that we have control, that this energy that perhaps has been used against us, we can hone in on and use in any way we want. So perhaps there was a voice that has stopped us in some way or made us feel a certain way or, you know, beat us up or, you know, whatever. We can then understand it and embrace it, not cut it off, but dance with it. And if we could dance with it, then we could learn it, know it, and then we have control over it. Because so many times we're not in control of who we are or our life, because we're not even driving the bus. All these thoughts that have come on board for us because of all our experiences are what's in control. But once we really, really know who we are and what these voices are about, these parts of us, one by one, taking all these pieces back, we get to be fully realized. Because I believe there's nothing inherently wrong with any one of us, and it's just energy, and it's about how to use the energy. And we can use the energy in a harmful, hurtful way, or we could take back that energy that was used in a harmful way and use it in any way we want, but take it back so we can really feel full and alive.
You know, when you were talking about that, I got some images. When you said dance with it, I like that image as well, because I like to dance. So I was thinking, what would other people do? Image of sparring, somebody who likes to do martial arts or to do any kind of boxing, to be able to spar with it, not in a hurtful way, but as practice. You know, when we spar, we're practicing with somebody. Or if you like to run, to have that as a running partner, to take some of that shadow part and actually bring it into whatever it is that you're doing and partner with it so that you incorporated into your life. And that may not be what you do. That was just the image that came to mind for me.
You know, the energetics of what you describe is what we do. You know, we don't do it out in the world per se, but in a safe container, in a safe place where there aren't real life consequences, we do dance with these parts. We do step into these these energies, and we run them, we own them. We'll take on the voices and the characteristics in our bodies to really feel what it's like to be in that character, to be in that voice. Sometimes we will have other part players representing those parts, you know, part players, other people holding the energies of the parts that are in our head, so we can actually look at it and talk to them. Sometimes we have parts talk to each other. So there is this kind of dance that we do in a way to really feel them and know them. You know, some of the other work I do is Tony Robbins' work. I went through his one of his coaching programs, and one of the things he does, and I always remember this because it's so much like shadow work, he was talking about fear, which is, you know, at the bottom of everything. We want to fit in. You know, the last thing we want is to feel like we're less than, or that we're going to disappoint someone, or that we're not going to be loved. Those are our biggest fears, and that's pretty much at the root of almost everything we do, is that underlying fear. So How do we work with that fear? And if we keep pushing it away and we keep resisting it, it's going to keep going and it's going to get stronger. It's going to get harder to deal with. And so he did this exercise where he had somebody come on stage, and he had the person represent fear, and he had them hold his arm. And, you know, Tony Robbins is, I think, 6'7". He's a big dude, a big, strong dude. And this, you know, this guy was, you know, regular guy. And so he said, "With all your might, I want you to hold me." And Tony did whatever he could to, like, break free from this fear. And it was this big fight, and it was just all this energy between them. And it looked very uncomfortable, and he certainly didn't break free from the fear. If anything, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of energy to fight this. But then he said, "Okay, now I'm going to move with the fear." And he said to the guy, "I want you to hold me tight again." And what he did was he leaned into the fear, and he moved around the stage dancing with the fear. Now, the fear was still there, but he was working with it. He was owning it. He was playing with it. He got to know it, and therefore he was able to be at peace with it on some level, because what we resist persists. And if we can really just allow it to come in, whatever that emotion is, to really – or the thought, to really let it land inside of us, and with, you know, with a help of a shadow worker or a therapist or somebody else, to really know what it's about, what, you know, what does it really want, and to get inside of it, we get to dance with it. We get to play with it in a way that it can then serve us instead of harm us.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about, you said you want to find out what it wants. Would you talk about that a little bit, what the
sure.
fear was?
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, you know, going back to, you know, my story of not wanting to raise my hand in class, you know, not wanting to be seen. I have a big personality, always have been. I walk in a room, people know I'm there. It just is, you know. Just have that kind of bubbly personality, and I can own it now. You know, there was a time when maybe I wasn't so grounded in it, but it's just me. It's who I am. I'm very comfortable, and I have a big personality. But by the time I got to high school, I had to do everything I could to not be seen. That voice in my head said, "Don't raise your hand. You're going to be embarrassed. Don't raise your hand. You might look like a fool. Don't raise your hand. You're going to be a loser, and you don't know enough or whatever it took." That voice was going to make sure that I felt unworthy of raising my hand, or so much fear about raising my hand. And so you could say, "Wow, that voice really kept me down. That voice kept me from the student council. That voice kept me from being on the volleyball team," which, boy, I really wanted to be on. But the idea of auditioning for the volleyball team or trying out for it terrified me, because that voice said, "This might happen, this might happen, this might happen." So what did that voice really want? Did that voice really want to crush me? No, that voice wanted to protect me. Now, I could be angry at that voice, and I have been angry at that voice through the years, because it stopped me from living fully. It stopped me from some really amazing opportunities in my life, because that voice made me so terrified that I didn't do certain things, or so terrified that I really blew an audition because I was so scared. And so to understand that voice inside of my head, that voice, that part of me, that critical voice that says, you're not good enough, don't even try, you know, or beat me up if I even thought of, oh, gosh, you know, don't even, was in service to me because I was harmed. I had some devastating moments when I was younger, all the way back to fourth grade, where, you know, in the playgrounds, you know, it's just, so mm-hmm. I know that part is in service to me. And by understanding that, I've had talks with that part and I say, okay, you did a good job. I needed you. I needed you to protect me. And yeah, if I raised my hand in class, and it sounds so silly, but boy, back then it was a big thing. I could have really been so devastated. And so it protected me when I couldn't protect myself. But you know what? I'm 49 years old. I have amazing skills. I'm a fully evolved woman. I have unbelievable support. I have great sisters in my life. And I know myself, and I also know that I can take care of myself. And perhaps I might get a little embarrassed. Maybe something will happen. Maybe I'll listen to this radio talk, you know, later and go, oh, my God, I sounded like such an idiot. You know, I mean, I have no idea. And maybe there'll be a moment where I thought, you know what, I should have prepared more or whatever. And that voice might have said, well, next time, you know, you might want to think about this, or it's different.
Right.
This voice, I was uncomfortable getting on this radio talk show today because I've never been on radio before. There was that voice that said, I don't know, you know, this is a new territory for you. But I'm able to say yes, and it's getting out of my comfort zone that helps me grow. And my highest purpose is to help others. So I can handle this. Whatever comes my way, I can handle it. And if I slip and fall, I can handle it. I couldn't handle it back then. So that
right.
critical voice now, and I have lovely conversations, and it's not devastating. And I'm rewired. I'm up to speed. That software that was put in me when I was in fourth grade and seventh grade, it's different now. So it's
right.
a whole different way of being with that fear that I used to have.
So tell us a little bit more about shadow work, and then why would somebody do shadow work? What would they do in shadow work? I need to understand the term shadow work a
yeah.
little bit better.
Yeah, and that's a whole couple of hours worth of talking. But let's start with what the shadow is, you know? I'm sorry?
Yeah. You don't have a couple hours, so make it a little shorter.
I know. So let's see what I can do. Well, again, the concept is embracing all of who we are, and there are parts of us that are in shadow. And what that means is the shadow parts are parts that we have cut off or repress for some reason. There are parts of who we are that, for whatever reason, we have decided are unacceptable parts. Maybe we witnessed somebody getting harmed with somebody's anger when we were younger, and we thought, you know, that I'm never going to be angry, and I'm just going to always be gentle and soft and never raise my voice, and I cut off that part of anger, the energy of anger, because it's only energy. And we go through life and we take these parts of who we are and we throw them away and we say, I'm not going to be that, and we deem them as bad qualities. And sometimes there are golden parts of who we are, too, that we throw away, parts that are beautiful, but again, we had an experience that told us we couldn't be like that for some reason. So that's the cliff notes of what goes in shadow. And the reason we do shadow work is to take back those parts so we can be more whole, be more who we are. And the work itself, it comes in different forms. I mean, like I do one-on-ones with people. I do an individual coaching practice as well as group work. I love the group work. And there are weekend workshops as well that bring in shadow work and a million other ways. But those are the main ways to do shadow work. And what we do is we create a space for people to look at these parts, to look at maybe issue by issue, what are the voices, what are the shadows that have been created, why were they created, and not only understand what they are and why they're there, but to actually transform them and take them back in a way that these parts of us, take them back so that we can feel more comfortable. So, for example, maybe some of us have a hard time expressing our anger cleanly, without harming another person. Maybe we witnessed somebody really, you know, their head being chopped off when we were little, maybe some aggression toward another person, or maybe we experienced anger straight at us and we made that decision. So then we go through our life without boundaries. Maybe we have a hard time expressing when somebody has harmed us because we feel that energy of anger, so we don't deal with it, and we just kind of allow things to happen to us. And then we get to be older and say, you know what? This isn't working for me anymore. I really want to set some boundaries, but I don't want to do it in the way I learned. I don't want to harm anyone. I don't want to scream at anyone like my dad did to my mom, you know? My dad didn't scream, yes. Just to say. But anyway, so in a safe place where there aren't real-life consequences, we get to play this out in a symbolic way. We can step into that angry energy and feel the energy of what it is to feel angry, to know it, and be able to use it in a way that wouldn't harm another. And so we do role playing. We do lots of part playing where people step into these different voices. Like I said before, we have the voices talk to each other, and then we sometimes decide something has to happen with those parts. So perhaps there's a voice that's a really painful, critical voice, and we want to stop it. So maybe we set a boundary with that voice and say, no more. I don't want that voice in my head anymore. You know, and again, this can be a little confusing because I was saying about embracing all these parts, but it is. Mm-hmm. It's about taking the energy by setting the boundary with that voice and feeling what it's like.
What would you do with that voice? The voice of anger. I mean, first of all, I would imagine that people going into and into that place of the energy of anger for themselves is pretty scary. But
yeah,
then what would you do? What would you do with that voice? You're setting boundaries.
Well,
it can't be in my head, but where is it?
Right. So, well, first of all, we don't just jump right into anything because it takes time. You know, and I don't mean like, you know, days and years, and you know, it's
right.
A journey to get to a place of feeling comfortable with a facilitator. So in general, when we do a process, it could take, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half before we really get to the stepping into a setting boundary place. And when we come close to a shadow, it can be scary. This is a place that we have decided long ago to not go to because it was really risky for us. There's danger. There are parts of us that are like, I don't want to go there. But then we work the risks out. We look at what's risky about playing with it in a safe place. So if we know, let's keep using the anger thing. So let's just say, after, you know, you and I are talking for a while, and perhaps anger is an issue, and you've looked at different parts, and there's a part that's being squashed by the anger, this little part that's feeling really sad and vulnerable, and then there's this big part that's just squashing this little part. And we step back far enough to get some perspective of what's happening inside of you, because these are parts of you. I might say to you, what needs to happen here? You came here and you said you really want to feel empowered, you want to feel whole and peaceful, you know, and whatever else you said you really, really wanted for yourself. Well, looking at these two parts, this part squashing this other part, what needs to happen? And so it's up to the participant to decide what really needs to happen. So perhaps they might say, well, that little one that's being squashed really needs some support, really needs to know that it's okay just the way it is. And we set up a process where the participant can come and say some beautiful words and a blessing to this little one, so this little one can feel it on the inside that they're okay. And inside, we will experience that. The participant will experience that blessing with how we set it up. But perhaps the other thing happens, which is the participant says, well, I want to get rid of that part that tells me I'm not worth it. I'm sick of that voice that yells at me and tells me I'm not worth it. So what we do is we set it up again in a really safe way, and at this point they're comfortable, they're willing to take the risk, the participant's really ready to step in and own this energy, and perhaps they stand in front of this voice and just stand up to it for the first time in their life, because this voice probably represents a parent or a sibling or some other person or culture that they picked up along the way that has given them that message. And so in this place, they might decide to stop this voice once and for all by actually claiming the exact energy in a healthy way, by saying, no more, I don't want you in my life. I don't need you in my life. And in that moment, they can feel what it's like to feel that energy without harming, but feel it and own it. And then we have them close their eyes and just feel it as energy. And that's kind of the flavoring of what we do with the different parts.
Okay, well, I'd like to just take a little pause here and remind people that our listeners that you can call in and talk to Junie or me, and the number is 347-205-9074. That's 347-205-9074. So if you have a question or you want a card reading following the interview, feel free to call in to that number. Junie, I wanted to go back for a minute and just let you know what happened about the four eyes and the Bucky Beaver thing.
Yes, please.
After I got my contacts and after I had my teeth operated on, I went back to a class reunion, a high school class reunion. It was my fifth class reunion. And you know how, because my name began with R, I was always put in the back of the row, and I was overweight, so I always ended up in the third or fourth row of the class. And when I went back for this class reunion, the photographer started putting everybody in place, and he put me in the front center seat.
Mm.
The kind of the seat of honor, you know, where the cute person was, and took the class picture. And that was so amazing for me because it just verified that I really was beautiful, that I didn't have to worry about being called Bucky Beaver or Four Eyes any longer, and it was completely healing for me. I was really fortunate that there was one of those incidents that just took all of that negativity away around those comments.
And in that moment, you were blessed. In that moment, you had the perfect piece of shadow work where somebody honored you in that space to be able to be seen for your beauty. And, of course, you were beautiful before, too, but now you got to be with those people that you had this experience with, being in the center. Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah. It was so powerful for me, I even remember the color of the dress and the feeling of, feeling of the photographer saying, I want you to sit here.
Wow.
Somebody out class saying, you're the special one.
Wow.
I mean, that's how it all felt for me, you know. It was pretty amazing stuff.
That's beautiful.
Hope other people did that.
Yeah, no, that's great. It reminds me of my 10th reunion. You know, after going through everything I went through in high school, the idea of going to a reunion, you would think, would be like, why would I ever want to subject myself to that?
Right.
But I went back with a very strong intention. I went there knowing I was going to, in quotes, raise my hand. I asked to have the microphone at some point to talk to the entire group. They had a microphone. They had a DJ. And I went there to slay that dragon of mine, to be able to be seen, be heard. And I just put it out there, and I took the microphone, and I just said, I don't know if you all know this or not, but I was really scared of raising my hand in class and blah, 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 blah. And I just want to say how great it is to be here and see you all. And inside, it was for me. It was to claim my space, to be seen, be heard, and know that I was full. Whether they knew it or not, it didn't matter anymore. I knew it. And I took that microphone with a fullness and a richness. And it still, to this day, was the best night of my life, my 10th high school reunion, because I went back and I slayed some beautiful dragons and left with such a great smile on my face. And I did it in a beautiful way. I did it in a heartfelt, loving way. I didn't cut anybody's head off. I even went straight to the person that was my biggest bully and had a conversation with her and I did my own shadow work way back then.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Life definitely gives us those opportunities sometimes.
Yes. So if somebody wanted to find out more about working with you or the group, do you do groups as well as individual work?
Yes, I do. I do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how would they find out more? How would they find out to connect with you? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page, email, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, kind of all of the above. Facebook, Junie Moon Schreiber, that's my personal page, or you can go, my company's name is Soulful Expressions, soulful, S as in Sam, O-U-L, F-U-L, expressions. And so on Facebook, it's Junie Moon's Soulful Expressions. You could find me there. Or you could find me at www.soulfulexpressions.net. Make sure it's a .net. And my email is juniemoon@soulfulexpressions.net. And the other place to find out about shadow work, in addition to my website, is shadowwork.com. And there's a lot of amazing articles on there and a list of all the different workshops around the country, around the world, in case you aren't close to me. But I am in New Jersey. I do travel. You know, I do a lot in Massachusetts as well as New Jersey. And I have a female partner and a male partner. So sometimes we'll do all women workshops and sometimes co-ed, and we travel. So if someone wanted to get a group of people together, we could have a shadow work workshop wherever people are. We love to do that. We want to spread it. We love this work. We've gotten the gift, you know. We love what it's done to our life, so we love to spread it wherever. And so I do the individual work. I have done some on Skype and on the phone. I love being in person. I think energetically it's really sweet to be in person. But, you know, it still works over the phone. It's just a different dynamic. So those are the ways to get in touch with me.
Okay. That's great. Now, is there anything that we forgot or I didn't bring up or something that you've thought of along the way that we need to address before we end the show?
Well, two things. One is for anybody that is on the show, I wanted to offer something special. If you go to soulfulexpressions.net, either sign up for my email letter and write in the comment box, Purpose Talk Radio, or just zip me an email directly and say that you were on the show. I would like to gift people with what I consider a half-hour hot seat. And what that is if somebody would like to work an issue out with me and maybe get some strategies around it, we could talk for a half hour and see where we can go with that. So they just have to reach out to me and we can schedule a half-hour hot seat to hopefully shift some old stuff and create some new empowering ways for them to be with whatever the issue is. And then the other thing, just to go back to the shadow work, you know, just to kind of put it all together, I mean, it's really hard to talk about what exactly it is unless you experience it. But the gist is we don't know what we don't know. You know, we only know what we know. And there's a lot to learn outside of the box we live in. And sometimes it takes stepping out of the box and getting a little uncomfortable in places in our life where the growth happens, where the magic happens. And I think shadow work is one of the most brilliant modalities I've ever experienced, where we get to step out of our comfort zone and learn things about us that you just have no idea. It's so amazing, this work, the tools we use, how things come out of us that we had no idea, and we learn. We learn about who we are. We learn why we're wired the way we are and why we do what we do. And by understanding that, we can make different choices in our life and really create the life that we deserve. So, I just wanted to add a little bit more about the overall gist of why we would do shadow work, because we only know what we know. And if there's something that's uncomfortable in your life and there's something that's just stopping you or you're stuck in some way, there are answers. There are answers, and there are people out there that can guide you in a safe way, and shadow work is definitely one of those ways.
So how long has shadow work been around?
I believe since the late 80s, Cliff Berry and Mary Ellen Wallen pulled from different modalities to create shadow work. And some of it came from the Mankind Project, which is a men's initiatory weekend that they do some similar skills and some neuro-linguistic programming skills. And I mean, I actually don't know half the things that are in shadow work. I just kind of learn shadow work. But whenever I do it, people go, oh, I've learned that here and there and everywhere. So Cliff is I didn't get to meet Mary Ellen, but Cliff was one of the founders and is my trainer, and he just kind of created it with all these different pieces to help people with, you know, everything I just spoke about. But yeah, I'm pretty sure since the late 80s.
Yeah. All right. Well, Junie, I would like to thank you very much for being on the show today and for filling us in on shadow work. And I want to remind all our listeners that Junie was one of the people interviewed for the upcoming book, Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers. And you can find out more about that on PurposeTalkRadio.com. We'll give you some more information. And what else? Let me see. Go to PurposeTalkRadio.com, find out more about Junie Moon Schreiber, and find out about our upcoming guests, about our past guests, listen to the archived shows, and remember to join us on Facebook on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations in that group. And Junie, I hope you'll join us in that group after the show and just say hello to everybody and post your offer there as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this was so wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here. And hopefully I shed a little more light on the shadow work world and the opportunities for people to heal and grow.
Awesome. All right. Well, I want to thank you again. And I'm going to thank you all for listening, for being with us this week, and invite you to join us again next week for Week 8 in the Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers series. And for now, I wish you soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.